Shaw here, and today I'm chatting to Joe Fear. I was first introduced to this young man in a bar in Las Vegas, which sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? But that's where everyone heads after they've completed a hard day at the workshop. Actually, it's where most people make the kind of connections that have the potential to change their lives. Like me, Joe Fear was a student of Alex Jeffries, and clearly he took all the information he was taught on board, because he's now a very successful online marketer specialising in video creation. In fact, he's an internationally renowned video producer, and his creations are featured in many product launches. Joe is equally as comfortable in front of the camera as he is creating PowerPoint videos, and his products have helped numerous people master what is often perceived as a really difficult thing to do, including me. I've bought some of his courses and have the utmost respect for how effortless he makes everything appear. Joe has several products to his name, but is kept pretty busy using his graphic and video skills to help other people promote their products. Whilst admittedly he's been online since childhood and is really comfortable with computers, Joe has the ability to help others feel the same way. It's like everything, the more you do something, the easier it gets, and video creation is no exception. The biggest challenge is getting started, and Joe's simple explanations and reassuring natural way of speaking makes that initial step incredibly easy. So let's have a chat to this young man from California and see what he has to say about his road to internet success. So hi Joe, how are you?
Hey Jean, doing really well. Thanks for having me on here.
That's good.
That's a big introduction, you did well.
Wow, there you go. Well, I've got to make it sound good, haven't I? But I've just discovered that we've got something else in common apart from being ex-students of Alex Jeffries, and that is that we have birthdays one day after each other, don't we?
Very cool, just last week.
Yeah, admittedly, there's 30 years difference, but nevertheless.
Hey, happy belated to you.
And to you. Yeah. So, let's see, you went to university in San Diego, didn't you? What did you study?
Was it actually marketing.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
I did, but they didn't really teach the type of marketing that we use every day online. As much as I like to say that I completed college and all that, hopefully there's not any kids or high school students, but I really wish I kind of skipped it and just focused on online marketing, how I'm marketing now. I feel like I've gotten a lot more out of owning my own business and really learning just by doing, rather than sitting in a classroom and kind of learning the theories of it all, rather than the application.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that seem to be under the misconception that you have to be really clever to be to have success on the internet, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way. The purpose of my interviews is to reassure people that success is really a matter of persistence and mindset, isn't it? It's really got nothing to do with gender or age or experience, although there does seem to be some evidence that young men of your age do seem to have a lot more success than others. Have you noticed that?
I have to an extent, and you see around internet marketing, and there really aren't too many females in general doing it. And it really is unfortunate. I don't really know why that's the case, but I feel like they can probably do a heck of a lot better than us, to be honest.
I think it's to do with the testosterone or something.
It might be, yeah.
You know,
just
that
the fear of kind of putting yourself out there.
Well, it's also
to see it, really.
Yeah, possibly. But for men, I suppose it's that competitive thing. You know, we think, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And often, when people are in their sort of mid to late 20s and early 30s. They perhaps haven't started a family, so they don't have the kind of responsibilities which might make other people less inclined to take risks, do you think?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's basically, it sums up exactly what I did with quitting my job. Because right now I'm 26 years old, and it was about a year ago I quit my full-time job, which was pretty comfortable marketing position in downtown San Diego. And, you know, I could have moved up if I wanted to, but I was more of a hard-headed guy. I mean, I still am. Every entrepreneur is. You always want to do your own thing. You want to strive for more than what you have right now. And that's, I felt like I was just kind of too cooped up in a little box, you know, and in that office downtown. So that's what, and the fact that I don't have any kids, I do have a wife, but, you know, we're still both really young, so we feel like this is the best time to really get out there and try to, you know, risk not really a lot, but, you know, more so than most people would ever do in their lives.
Because you are a bit of an action man, aren't you? Are you an adrenaline junkie?
To an extent, I am. I wasn't really as a kid, but it's kind of grown on me now. You know, and yeah, I'll definitely do more than most people out there. You know, it's all about taking action, no matter what you do in life in general.
Yes, because as a child, you were quite quiet, weren't you? Didn't I read somewhere that you were nervous about everything and was very quiet?
A lot of stuff, yeah. I definitely wasn't as outgoing as I am now. I think that changed in late high school or so. So it really wasn't that long ago. But, and to be honest, I don't know what the switch was in my mind, but I think I just kind of realized that, hey, just what the heck, what's going to happen, you know? What's the worst thing to happen? And same thing in business too. If all else fails, you know, I do have the, you know, the credentials to go back to work for someone, which I would not be able to do. But yeah, it's nice to know that it's not the end of the world if you decide to try something and put yourself out there.
So when you started online, it wasn't with the videos, was it? What did you try initially?
I was focused, because we started in Alex Jeffries' course. I was doing blogging before that time, so I was making a little bit of money online, and I did that with my buddy Matt Wolf, and you guys might have heard of him. He does WordPress stuff now, WordPress training. So we both started at the same time. We used to work together, and we would just get paid using, you know, with Google AdSense, the little Google ads you see on blogs and different text links and all that stuff. So it was nice, and that kind of opened my eyes to passive income online or just making money online in general. So what I decided to do at that point was to just start growing my list and creating informational products to do so.
So
it was basically kind of like a free giveaway and then upsell them with a one-time offer and, you know, give good value on the back end in whatever product I offer.
So do you think it helped you that you had somebody to start your business with, somebody to support and sort of bounce ideas off? Yeah.
Definitely. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And even now, it's nice to have someone. Actually, just last week, I like to say I broke up, but I broke up with a business partner of a local guy here, and I felt like it kind of was the reason why I took on a business partner was almost that comfort of knowing that someone's going to push me. And even now to this day, I feel like sometimes I need that. So I could, you know, starting out online, it's huge. It's massive. But it's all about realizing that you can drive yourself if you just focus enough.
Maybe that has something to do with the first blogs that you ever set up, which was BeHealthyAndRelax.com, was it?
Did it
relax? But then your next one was HowIWillBeRich.com, so presumably that had...
You know what? It was the other way around.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because I just gave both of those... Matt and I were partners on that stuff, so I just actually gave him the rights to just take it all. And unfortunately, when he was moving servers, he totally deleted How to Be Rich, or How I Will Be Rich.
Oh, that's
what it was called, I believe.
That's a shame, because they were both pretty prophetic domain names, weren't they? You know.
Oh, Be Healthy and Relax is still around. That's still cranking. And that's one of the originals, but yeah. to the point domain names.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly concentrated on the keywords there.
Yeah.
So have you at any stage been attracted by all the shiny objects that come out in cyberspace, you know, or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I still, I mean, I try to keep my head away from all that stuff. I don't really look at that stuff too often. But when starting out, yeah, I mean, there was the big thing. I was jumping around from product to product. And to be honest, I didn't really buy too much. So I didn't really spend much money in the market. I was just on the Warrior Forum way too often. And I don't know if you've been there, but thewarriorforum.com, and it's just, you can read articles and what people say all day long. And they give away a lot of free information, but there just comes a time where you need to take action and focus.
Absolutely. But it's really reassuring to hear that people who are now successful online have gone through that shiny object syndrome themselves, because I know a lot of people, myself included, I've bought courses that I've never even looked at, or I've started and then something else has come along and I've gone on to something else, and you feel embarrassed and ashamed, as if to think, you know, is it me? But in fact, it's not. It's something I think everybody has to go through, and I don't think it really matters how many times somebody else says, learn from my mistakes. I don't think you ever do. I think you have to make your own mistakes and then just sort of move on, don't you? Learn from them and then move on.
That's exactly right. And I feel like it's kind of a curse for the entrepreneur, because we always want to do something new. I mean, we constantly want to innovate. We want to make something more. So we're always kind of looking, even if we're not really actively looking, we somehow come upon, you know, a new opportunity or a new method to make more money or help more people. And that's where I think I still see those shiny objects. And now I kind of just see what they're doing, but I don't buy anything anymore unless I really have to. But it's just, you have to be disciplined, I think, is the end of the day, is what you have to do.
Yeah, so do you tend to focus on not so much what they're selling, but how they're selling it and how they're promoting it?
Yeah, not only that, I mean, I do focus on what the product is and just what they're teaching, but more often than not, I can kind of figure it out myself, at least, you know, in a general sense. But yeah, really, it's important to study their marketing, how they get their traffic, how they sell people, and how they give away good content to ultimately turn you into a buyer, because they're doing something right if you're buying, you know. So it might be actually good to go back to those products that you've purchased, anybody, and see how they actually sold you, you know, see what was the turning point there.
Absolutely. And also, I think had I have gone through them, I probably wouldn't have needed to have bought other ones, because they probably had the information that I was actually seeking. It's just that I never got to the point of ever finding out. So,
yeah. A lot of people go through it. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
It would actually be good to go back. But the thing is, I don't think people ever do. They don't have time, do they? Because you just want to move forward and not go back. But sometimes it's good to. I know it's good to revisit Alex Jeffries' course, especially his Forward to Basics, where you just have to get, you know, the focused and the planning. Do you plan? Do you plan tomorrow, today?
I do. That's exactly what... I was the worst planner before ever starting online. Just in life. I mean, you can ask my wife here. She's still my calendar, but to an extent now, I have my own just work-related calendar. But I definitely do plan all of my to-dos and my priorities the night before.
And do you think that was the turning point in your career, yours and Matt's? Do you think understanding...
I think putting priorities down and focusing was probably more the turning point.
Yeah.
Rather than... I mean, and yeah, it is planning, I guess you can call it as well. I like to just call them kind of priorities, just because we were so scattered at the time. And it's just finding whatever it's finding what the people want, and if you can serve it to them, you know, using your skills. And everybody has their own skills, so you just need to kind of tap into them and realize them. And you know, and usually you can realize that by just talking to others and in networking. And usually those skills, like my video stuff, that was Josh Bartlett that actually told me, hey, you need to focus on video. Yeah, and to be honest, if it wasn't for him, it probably would not be doing that right now. I probably wouldn't be. So it's kind of a mixture of, yeah, priorities, talking to people, and then honing your skills and tapping into them.
So how did you meet Josh? Was that at workshops, or did you know him from some other way?
I actually met him in Alex's course in the forum. Matt and I were already buddies, but one of the biggest things, because we talked about this before ever starting the course, when we heard that there was we can network with people online, is, you know, hey, we need to really stay active in that forum and get to know everybody, or at least kind of look like the authoritative people in the course. And, you know, because that's a way that you can grow your name really quick, is if you help people, if you're constantly talking to people and giving away value. And that's what we did, and Josh was doing the same thing, so we connected with him. And ever since then, I mean, I talk to Josh almost every other day or so. Matt's a business partner with him now. So it's kind of like we've kept that tradition going now. We're still in a really close connection. We see him every now and then. He comes to America pretty often.
Was he okay with the disaster in New Zealand? Because he lives there now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's in the North Island, so he was okay, because that happened in the South Island.
Right.
But he did know some people that were affected. I believe they're okay, but he actually is setting up a fund where a whole bunch of internet marketers are donating their products. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I don't know what the price point is, but it's very, very low priced, you know, below $100. It's basically a fire sale, and 100% of the proceeds are going to go down to help them in New Zealand. I haven't seen anything done like that in our internet marketing space, so that's really cool.
Let's hope somebody does it for Japan as well. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's almost unfortunate, because I feel like Japan's kind of going to be overlooked. I mean, New Zealand might be overlooked a little bit, just because of, you know, just how close they happen together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it'll work out. It's just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh Bartlett, he's a really nice guy. I had a chat to him, not an interview, but I spoke to mm-hmm. him, and I was very impressed with his outlook on how honest he appeared, because there's a lot of marketers that are just in it for the money, aren't they? But not really wanting to actually help people.
Yeah, and if you look at what Josh says on Facebook, because he posts pretty often, quite often, and it's always about, or, you know, a lot of the times it's about his views on the industry and internet marketing, or how people should kind of carry themselves in business or create products of value. That's really how he is in real life. I mean, he definitely jokes around, and you know, he's a you know, a real person at the end of the day, but he's definitely that genuine guy that delivers, you know, that does what he preaches, which is really cool. And that's why we're such good buddies still. You know, we get along so well.
Yeah, well, that's good, because once you get to a certain level of fame, or whatever you want to call it, on the internet, you do have a responsibility, because everything you say and do, mm-hmm. people take notice of, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you, and he's noticed it already just with this last product launch, is that people actually kind of start to look down upon you just because you become successful. So you need to really watch what you say, watch what you do, make sure you're really doing what you preach and give real value back to them, which he does, but still people like to scrutinize people that have been successful online. I don't know if it's a jealousy thing or if it's just something like that where they feel it's unfair, but he's definitely seen it, and he's the last guy in the world that should ever have that happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's jealousy or not, but certainly everything you do on the internet leaves a trace, and it leaves a trail. So there's going to be somebody that's trying to find the dirt, I suppose. But
it could be the smallest detail, and they'll find it from, you know, 2 years ago on a forum post or something, you know. Just watch what you say, everybody. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
That's right. Now, I noticed that you are left-handed. Do you think that's why you're so creative?
You're really good. It's kind of scary to have a camera in my house or something.
Yeah,
I am left-handed.
I was going to say, they don't call me Sherlock Shaw for nothing.
I like that.
No. So, Heather, is she involved in internet marketing at all?
She's not. My wife, she actually does her, she runs her own marketing company. And it's a local, actually it's a U.S.-based company. And they do natural food promotions in stores. Kind of like, I don't know if you have the Whole Foods over there, the health food markets.
Yes.
But, yeah, you might see those people that hand out samples, free samples in the store.
Mm-hmm.
She has a company here that manages hundreds, you know, like about 500 people on the, most of the U.S. over here. So it's a really, really cool company. Successful.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
She's definitely gives me a lot of pointers, so some of the best ideas have come from her.
So, are you a healthy eater?
To an extent. I still like my ice cream, and my biggest thing is chips and salsa, Mexican food down here.
Oh, is it really? And beer. Are you still brewing your beer?
Jeez, wow, you're right. I don't know where you get this information from, to be honest.
Well,
I haven't brewed beer in probably, unfortunately, about a year and a half. And really, there's no excuse. I like to say I'm busy, which I am, but I'm actually looking at my beer equipment now that you said that. It's very, very dusty right now, so I need to change that. But yes, I love brewing beer, and that's really one day I want to, you know, when I really feel like I can walk away from the internet, I want to open up a brewery. That's always just kind of been a passion of mine.
Really? Gosh.
Nothing big, but just something where, you know, I can entertain people, have fun, not really do the day in, day out work, but, you know, just say, hey, that's my brewery. Call it Fear Beer. That's the name.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's brilliant, actually, because you've got the name all sorted. So, mm-hmm. when you said that I'm good. Obviously, I've done a bit of research on you, and presumably that's what you do when you create your products, especially for other people. So do you ask the who, what, why, when, and where? I mean, how do you go about creating your videos?
My videos, I like to judge the market. So, like, when I just created a video simplified. And that's actually, there's some things in the works with that product. I actually might be handing that over to Josh for his Easy Video Player. But, so you guys want to check it out there if you do, or if you're interested in it. But what I do is I like to go to the forums, for one, and I can kind of gauge the market that way and see what they're actually asking for in terms of video. And also, just pose a question, just ask something in there, and usually people will tell you everything and more that they want. Another great way is surveying your list, or surveying your blog even, any readers that come through. That's a great way to do it, and really tap into exactly what people need to know.
So do you use SurveyMonkey for that?
I have, yeah. And it really doesn't matter which survey company or website you use. Just because I feel like a lot of people kind of get stuck in the technology of it all. They need to more focus on, you know, really how to structure their surveys or any kind of questionnaire that they send out. And make sure that, you know, it's really tapping into exactly what they're looking for and how it's going to benefit the reader as well.
So you actually work backwards then. You find out the desired result and then you work backwards and create your videos accordingly.
Exactly. And I feel a lot of people don't do that online enough. You know, you see a lot of products that they almost create a product just because they see that there's a trend going on, and like Facebook, for instance, that's the hottest trend right now. And you see about 6 products that were just released just on Facebook. And yeah, people need that Facebook help, but you kind of need to really home in and see what they're looking for within Facebook, you know, and delivering what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure you're an expert in that too. Don't just go in there, you know, and kind of fake your knowledge to an extent. Because my video stuff, I mean, everything I teach was a result of, you know, it has been years of practice, but I just didn't realize that I was doing it, to be honest, until I was told, oh, yeah, you're really good at this, and you need to actually teach people how to do this.
The thing is, when you can do something and you find it easy and you do it all the time, it's very hard to realize that other people don't have that same kind of skill or that same kind of level. You just think everybody can do it, don't you?
As entrepreneurs too, or at least, you know, the more we grow successful online and knowledgeable, we kind of forget where we were. So it's like you said, it's going back to basics. And you have to kind of get in the shoes of your customer and really realize where you're at and where they need to kind of get to from where they're at right now. So it's kind of difficult for a lot of people just because we don't think like that typically.
Absolutely. So talking about going back to basics, do you use pen and paper when you're is that the way you start your projects, or do you mind map, or how do you go about it?
I like to write down my ideas on pen and paper. And there's something about the whole writing on paper thing, you know? It's totally old school. A lot of people don't do it, but for some reason, I feel like I can get more out of my brain that way.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I mean, same way of just taking notes during, you know, say a webinar or something too. But yeah, what I'll do is I'll write down all my general ideas and then kind of formulate them into clusters or groups. So kind of like a mind map. Sometimes I do, sometimes I just keep it all on paper. And, you know, I kind of group them accordingly, and if it's not such a good idea anymore, I'll scratch that, and then I'll usually come up with a lot better ideas or additional ideas after I kind of group them all together, depending on whatever topic it is.
It's certainly a lot easier when you have some sort of visual representation of what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the power of a mind map. And unfortunately, my mind is always so scattered in a way, so that's me kind of trying to put it together. So really boiling it down into a mind map is really difficult for me still. I don't know if it's probably just my, you know, just my... It's just in my blood, you know, that's how I work. But I feel if I can get it on paper and clustered into different groups or topics, it's usually good enough for me. But everybody's different.
So you create all sorts of videos. Which do you prefer? Do you like the ones when you're in, or do you like your the PowerPoint ones where you're very creative, where you get things flying in and revealing themselves?
Yeah, I personally like the PowerPoint and the different motion animations that I do a little bit more, just because I feel like I could kind of show my creativity a little bit more and really polish it. But nothing can beat really, you know, the whole on-camera videos. Because if you can present yourself on camera and really speak genuinely and really, you know, look someone in the eye through the lens there, That's how people really make a connection with you. So definitely it's important mixing the two. And especially, you know, if you're just meeting someone or introducing yourself to people online for the first time, video is the way to go. I mean, on screen, you know, or actually, sorry, the camera in your face, those types of videos.
Well, it certainly builds the know, like, and trust, doesn't it? So people see that there is a real person behind whatever
Absolutely.
Whatever product or business that's being shown. Because
yeah.
You could, the danger of the internet is that you can pretend to be anybody, can't you? I mean, you just see that on these kids' sites where people groom them because they pretend to be something they're not. Whereas with video, I mean... If you say that you're a 26-year-old male, then they can see that you're a 26-year-old male, can't they? That's so.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
So
I mean, definitely people get, you know, the fear of the lens, you know, and looking at the red light, you know, when the camera turns on. So
yeah.
My tips are just to basically talk to it like a just like your best friend, you know, and just try to be real. Don't try to kind of act like someone you're not. Just be normal, and really, it's all about practice and really getting used to it.
Mm. Well, you're quite a natural about it now, obviously, and your mm-hmm. face has become really well known on the internet, obviously, from your YouTube videos and your Facebook and everywhere. So do you find that disconcerting? I mean, do people come up to you now and do they say, oh, hi, Joe, and you perhaps don't know them? Does that happen?
It does happen. It happened last week.
Did it?
The last 3 weeks I've been going to 3 different seminars every weekend. it's pretty draining, to be honest, but it's hugely beneficial. And if you guys ever had the chance, you know, whoever's listening here, go out to some live events because you can't beat it. The networking is top notch. That's how I met Gene as well. So
absolutely, yeah, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, isn't it?
Someone's got to hang out in the bar. You know, what's kind of funny is I went to Washington D.C., which is on the East Coast. So that was about a 5 to 6 hour travel time for me, and Matt and I went out there just to literally hang out in the bar for 4 days. We paid, you know, upwards of $1,000 or so, you know, $1,000 or more just to hang out in the bar. And I met great people, big internet marketers, and potential clients as well. So totally lost my train of thought.
I do have to make a disclaimer at the moment that I don't actually drink. So although we did meet in the bar, I was only drinking orange juice.
Well, I can't say the same for myself.
I don't want people to think I'm some sort of lush. But anyway.
That's all right.
Yeah. So...
I forgot what your question was, to be honest.
I was just saying about people recognizing you. What about where you live? I was talking to Joel Terrian the other day, and he drives a red Ferrari. Very, he's the CEO of GVO. I don't know if you know the company. And he says that it can be a bit intimidating sometimes when people don't respect your space. He says, you know, he will speak to anybody. He said, but when he's like in his car, people will actually come and put their head right inside his car. And you're never quite sure whether they are fans or whether they're interested or in the car or what these days. So I noticed on in one of your videos on your desktop, you had a very posh car. Is that yours?
No, that's definitely not mine. That's, to be honest, that's kind of the car of my dreams, but I don't know if I would really buy one. I'm not a huge car guy. You know, it's kind of more just like an inspiration thing, but really I should replace it with just a big house or something, or a nice house, because right now I'm kind of, you know, we're in a condo, my wife and I, so we kind of live kind of lean and mean, you know.
Do you still have your Suzuki Samurai?
I do have that still. I don't drive it as much as I should, though.
Are you still tinkering on it?
That, actually, you know what? I think I might actually sell it, and I'm really, really sad. But it's because where I live right now, I'm kind of down by the water. It's really not the best car over here. So kind of thinking about getting rid of it. But, yeah, I did a lot of tinkering under the hood, and it was pretty fun. It was a good learning experience, too.
Did you video it? Did you get your wife to video it?
No, unfortunately. And to be honest, I didn't really do all the work. I had a good mechanic buddy that kind of took the engine and did it for me. But I'm not nearly as skilled into there as I'd like to think.
It just takes
practice. That's why I stick with online.
Just, doesn't it? Although your hands your hands would probably get a lot dirtier than creating videos, I suspect. So you live by the beach, and I know you've got a dog. Do you take him for long walks every day?
Oh, yeah. That's She's here with me all day long. Typically, she is the one that I can kind of talk to because no one else is around here. Even though my wife is working from home today, I'm starting to get her to do that more often. But yeah, I have a little Dachshund Corgi mix, so she's a pretty cool looking dog.
But that must be a good reason to get away from the computer, because many people get stuck in front of the computer for like hours and hours and hours, don't they?
I'd still have that curse too, but she definitely gets me outside, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Gotta say, do you set a timer? Do you work in block sessions? Because I know a lot of internet marketers have said that that is what you need to do, because your brain sort of tunes out after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I do. I don't have a set, a time block. I like to work in about 2 or 3 hour increments. And like I said, I don't really have a timer that goes off then. I probably should, but that's kind of when my brain just realizes, okay, time to take a break or time to eat some food, go on a walk kind of thing. There's definitely power in stepping away. And just recently over here with my old business partner, he got me into surfing. So, and that's something I've never done before. And that was probably the ultimate getting away from the computer experience, just because it really opens your eyes. It makes you focus on the now, and not just so caught up in your thoughts all the time.
Obviously, that's what Frank Kern's done, because he's a big surfer, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen him out there, too. So yeah. He's really preaching what he sells, yeah?
he's
the real deal.
He certainly is. He certainly attracts a lot of attention, doesn't he?
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of people try to copy that, but... And that's another thing with trying to be yourself or a brand online. You just got to be yourself, you know.
Mm.
You don't try to create, a whole image from someone else, kind of thing.
Although, apparently, that's the ultimate form of recognition, isn't it? I just can't think
of it.
You
really made it, then, huh?
Yeah, sure does.
People are copying you.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I suppose it must be, because if you were absolutely useless and nobody thought anything of you, they wouldn't bother, would they? So it's the ultimate accolade.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. So I know what I have to ask you. Why do you keep saying "hey"? Whenever I see you, you say "hey." This is Joe Fear. Yeah. Have you not noticed?
I don't know. That's probably my little saying, because I know everybody always has a little quirky thing when they say, when they start the video.
Mm.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I guess I do. Yeah,
hey.
I can see it.
It's Joe Fear. And I just wondered if it was something, whether it was an age thing that I'd kind of missed out on.
No, it's probably just more me, to be honest. It's not a San Diego thing or anything either. It's just... I think everybody's got their little saying that they stick to, and people kind of start to, like you just said, you pick up on it, and it's kind of how you're known by, I guess, to an extent.
It's one of your idiosyncrasies. Very sweet, very endearing. So what advice would you have for anybody who wants to make it online and go the video route then?
Yeah.
Apart from watching your videos, which are brilliant, where can they find them again?
Right now, Video Simplified was a course that I created, and I'm actually selling that to Josh Bartlett for Easy Video Player. He's going to add that into his membership section, I believe. So it's actually going to be in there now.
So the people who'd already members then, are they still able to access it or not?
Oh, yeah. That won't be changed at all. And I'll still, answer any questions that come in there, support questions. But definitely nothing's going to change there at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I realized was just my focus needs to be on creating custom videos and premium videos for clients. So I really, and that's the whole thing. I think that's a good tip for people when they start online, is to try to simplify things as well. And that's why, I made just within this last week, I made two big moves. One was dropping my business partner locally here, which was kind of a separate thing. We had a whole different project going on, but I had to let him go, and then I had to let Video Simplified go as well, just to, so I can focus on my business a little tighter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they want to go to joefear.com, there's a few videos there that actually show what I do and kind of some previous launches and stuff I've worked on.
So if
that's kind of my little resume right now.
So if anybody wanted to contact you to create videos for them, that's where they would contact you as well, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of a work in progress, that page right now, so it's going to be changing as well. Mm-hmm. But that is definitely the best place to go, yeah.
And what about with Matt? I know he's doing something with Josh at the moment. Are you likely to be doing anything more with him?
Yeah, with Matt, we kind of do some little things on the side, because we still have some previous, we had a product called the Marketer's Classroom that we did together. And we never did fully launch it, just because we did have, again, like our own projects going on. So it was almost a little bit of a distraction. But I believe that we're going to actually put that out there again and kind of do another push with it, because it is a really good product to help people start from the beginning and start making the first dollar online.
That is wonderful, because a lot of products that you see, they come in with make your first $1,000 overnight or mm-hmm. something like that. And I think that's really scary for the majority of people, because what they want to do is make that first $1 or the first mm-hmm. $10 or $100, because some people are as afraid of getting started and failing as they are of success. So I think to sort of say, like you just have said, to make the first dollar is a big mm-hmm. thing, really, for a lot of people.
It is. I think that's the most inspirational, is it just proves to them that it is possible. Because a lot of people, that when they hear making money online, and I've received some resistance from my own very close friends, you know, my own age, who have grown up around the internet and, you know, have seen people make money online and, you know, create companies, but they told me, you know, like, oh, you can't do that, you know, make money online, you kidding me? And that just proves, you know, if you make your first dollar, you can definitely do it. Mm-hmm. And it's just simple. You know what, it's kind of funny, I was just testing Fiverr.com. I don't know if you've heard of that site.
Oh yes, it's brilliant, isn't it? You can get anything done on there, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. It's amazing what people do for $5.
You're not telling me you go on there and have your videos created for you, are you?
No. People do create videos for you there, but they're nowhere near the quality that I create. I'll say that I'm a lot better quality than those guys. But that's actually a good spot if you're just starting out. It might be a good way to just test product out, or you know, at least get some marketing knowledge, because I actually recently just tested selling a product on there, and it's just some audio tracks, and it's actually surprisingly sold fairly well, you know, and it's nothing more than just sending a link to a download, you know, for people when they buy. But it's kind of funny, because it just proves that, you know, if you just throw something on there online and you actually market it properly, if it's something that people really want to buy, they'll buy it from you. And it's almost like I proved to myself that I could sell on that website as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was just testing it out, and I ended up selling about 3 copies within, you know, a day. And I was like, huh, that's cool. You know, it wasn't much money, but it's just, it's that, you know, it's verifying that it's true. It can be done. So.
So did you play? I mean, because you play the guitar, don't you? Or used to?
Oh yeah, yeah. I haven't played in a while, but I need to. But so, the tracks that I sold on there were royalty free tracks that people can use in their music and stuff, or in their videos and stuff like that.
Oh, I'll have to look you up. Are you on your own name under Fiverr? Because the royalty free music tracks are always useful,
yeah.
Aren't they?
To be honest, I forget what my name is. I have a couple of them on there. And this is a brand new name too.
Goodness.
I'll have to let you know. But yeah, there are quite a bit of royalty free tracks you can download there.
All right.
And for $5, you can't really go wrong.
Well, it's worth that to be safe, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's the thing. There's some cool websites out there that, I mean, there's so many, you could just do a Google search, but royalty free videos, web, and you know, audio tracks. That's the way to go.
Mm. It's the same with images as well, isn't it? A lot of people think you can just take them off of Google, but you can't, can you?
Right. Yeah, every single image I get is purchased. You can probably find them for free, but I go to a site called Photolia. Probably pronouncing that wrong, but it's Photolia.com. So that's a good little resource for that I use to get all those little guys that look like, you know, the faceless characters.
Oh, right.
You know, the little white snowman looking guys. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of a popular thing right now.
Excellent.
But I guess if I could give a few tips to people if they just want to start out with video online.
Well, that would be excellent.
And just some of the benefits as well. What I would say just starting out is to use slideshows. You know, and what I like to do is do everything on an Apple, on a MacBook. And, you know, I use Keynote, but that's just the same as PowerPoint. So it's very simple to just create a slideshow just like you would for any kind of presentation. But the cool thing is that you can animate these slideshows, so you can make images appear very smooth or text come out from the side. And it's fairly simple to do. You can check out, you know, you can just kind of play with it yourself, or look up videos on YouTube, or, you know, check out Video Simplified if you haven't already. But it's easy to do. But what you do from that point on is just to record it with something like Camtasia or ScreenFlow on the Mac, and just speak over it. And really, you record that, maybe edit it a little bit after you're done, but then you have yourself a video. And you can get that done within 30 minutes, tops. So it's a really cool way to just get out there and put something online.
Mm. Well, that's fantastic. I'm sure there's a lot of people that, even if they can't do it themselves, I'm sure if they ask their children or their grandchildren, they'd soon show them, because they seem to learn these things as soon as they start school at kindergarten these days, don't they? So, okay. Well, that's fantastic.
And if you wanted to, just for simple cameras to, because it is powerful to get in front of the camera, like we were saying as well, what I recommend, you know, the flip camera is kind of a big popular one out there, but I would say stay away from the flip cameras and go with the Kodak ZIA or the ZIA.
Is that because you can put the microphone in that one?
Partly that, yeah. And I do that, the little lapel microphone. But what I like to do is, it just films at a higher resolution. It's a much higher quality camera in general. And I believe it costs less as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it has an expandable storage, you know, it has a little card in there so you can upgrade if you would like. And that's something the flip cams just don't have.
And so what is that? That's the Kodak ZIA, is it?
ZI-8.
ZI-8. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it's just a nice little handheld. It's about the size of a BlackBerry phone or so. So it's nice and thin, you can just put it in your pocket. But definitely, that's the camera you want to have when just starting out. And you can put it on a tripod and all that stuff, too. Mm.
So really, actually, making videos needn't be expensive, need it?
Not at all.
If you've got PowerPoint or Keynote, they're already usually on computers, aren't they? So that's kind of free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need, if you would use a camera, and then you could upload it to YouTube for nothing, couldn't you? So.
Yeah, and the Kodak ZI-8s are about $100.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you might get lucky on Amazon and find them even cheaper, or eBay even. So, I mean, there's really no excuse to at least try video, you know? And I mean, video marketing is just getting bigger and bigger every day. But the powerful thing is that still a lot of people are scared to get in front of the camera or to even put themselves out there. So you can really go a lot further with video than just writing a blog post all the time or something like that, where you kind of get mixed around in everything else.
Yeah, fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? It stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? But fear, they say, it stands for false expectations appearing real. And as I think I saw you say once, that the worst they can do is just kind of switch off your video, can't they, if they don't like you. It's not like it's going to kill you being on there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just like starting your own business in the first place, too. Like I was saying, you just got to do it. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen, you know? You can always go back and, I mean, whenever you're making a YouTube video, the first 10 are probably going to be horrible, you know? And when you watch them back, you're not going to even want to listen to your own voice. And I still don't really like listening to my own voice, but, you know, it's just kind of your human nature coming into play. But you just have to get through that and keep working at it.
And what do your parents and your family think of your success? Are they very proud of their little boy?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely proud. My stepdad is actually a little... he's still confused about the whole thing, like how it all works, whole internet marketing in general. He understands my video production and all that stuff now, but it's kind of funny because it is just... when I was explaining to my mom about what I do and how money is made online, it took her months and months and months just to understand it. So it's really a foreign idea to people that don't really, you know, put themselves out there and learn what goes on online.
No, I think a lot of people, especially perhaps older people, think that the internet is purely just for sending emails, or Facebook for young people, or eBay, selling stuff on eBay. I don't think they get that it can be used for other purposes, really. So
yeah, they're kind of like they're in their traditional, you know, work mode kind of thing, and that's all they use it for. Maybe some research, but that's about it.
But I must admit, I was 50. In fact, it was on my 50th birthday that I actually got introduced to the internet, when I realised exactly that you could use it for something other than sending emails and buying on eBay. And I've never looked back since. I mean, it's just been a wonderful journey, and I've loved every minute of it. Not least because it's enabled me to meet people from all over the world that I would obviously never have got the opportunity to get to know. Even if I haven't met them physically in person, you know, you get to know their names and their faces, and certainly with video, you get to know what they look like, so you feel as if you know them, even if you don't. And that broadens your horizon completely, doesn't it?
That's exactly what happened at the event when I saw someone that had watched a lot of my videos. He came up to me and he was talking to me almost like he knew me. And it's almost a little weird on, you know, for me, because I have absolutely no clue who this guy is. But, you know, but it's really cool at the same time, because they do understand, they know you, they feel like they could just talk to you like a normal guy, and, you know, you can have a conversation more or less. You know, so it's really beneficial to really just put yourself out there. And one thing that I'm going to actually start doing, I've kind of tinkered with it before, is to actually create a kind of like a web TV show, where you kind of come up with something once a week, some kind of episode. But that is a pretty good idea, or a pretty good thing for people just getting started to do as well. Instead of maybe blog posts, do a video every week, or maybe once every 2 weeks, just to kind of get your face out there. That's what I did from the start. Yeah.
You could have a confession show, Joe, and you could admit about Corky. Does your mum ever know about that yet?
No, she doesn't, actually. She does, yeah. It took her, I think she read that post, or I think I had actually admitted it to her right after I wrote that, because I felt guilty again. Yeah, for those that didn't read that blog post, Corky, he was a bird of, when I was a kid, little cockatiel bird that we had him in a cage outside, and my buddy and I were throwing a football around, American football around, and I accidentally hit the cage and it broke a little piece of it off, and I put the piece back there thinking that it would be okay and the bird wouldn't go anywhere. And then about an hour later, I realized that the bird was gone. I was like, oh, no. Nah, sure, it flew away to a nicer place. But but I was just always too embarrassed to admit that, so that finally came out. Yeah. I don't know why there's a big hole in the fin in the cage now.
Oh, dear. Well, there you go. You can have Confessions of a Video Star, then, your weekly program. Well, Joe, it's been really nice talking to you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to chat, because you haven't been feeling very well, have you? Had a bit of flu. So, I'm sure my listeners have got a lot of useful information about how they can step out of their comfort zone and start with the old videos. And just mm-hmm. in case they've forgotten where to find you, perhaps you'd like to just remind them again?
Yeah, just go to joefier.com. That's F-I-E-R. And, yeah, just check out what I do. But if you have any other questions about video, just there's a little contact form on there. You can just send me an email, and I'd be glad to help you out. Because that's one of the things I love doing, and I will start to do even more, is kind of one-on-one helping or coaching with people, and I really want to do it with video. So ultimately, that's one day where I'm going to be, maybe a year down the line. But in the meantime, if you have any video questions, just contact me on there.
And are you on Facebook, Joe? I'm sure you are.
Oh yeah, and you can search me up on there. My profile, just look my name up, or there's a fan page as well. And yeah, that's I check that, just like everybody else, probably every other minute of the day. Mm-hmm. I need to close that out about half the time, but yeah, I'll definitely respond to you and help you out if you have any questions or just want to connect.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so that's how you can find Joe Fear at the moment. But if you hang on a few years, we may be able to find Fear's Beers in a bar somewhere.
I hope so.
Anyway, on that note, I'll leave you, Joe. And as I say, thanks again. Really appreciate it. Okay, take care.
Thank you very much, Jean.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.